The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
Hometown Radio. Jim Siebert sitting in for Dave Congleton. Dave has been on vacation in Amsterdam and will be back tomorrow to take over the seat he's held for 30-something years, 32 years. I'm happy to fill in for this afternoon. And like I said, he'll be back tomorrow. So let me set up this hour, this 5 o'clock hour. I have been looking forward to this for quite some time. A couple of years ago, a friend of mine, who is also an audiobook narrator, started posting some pictures and whatnot on Facebook that he was dating this woman, and it was looking pretty serious. And I was wondering, who is this person who is a friend of my friend, and I need to find out a little bit more about her. And so I stalked her. I went to IMDb because I knew she'd been in the business, and I'm looking through some of her reels and some other things, and I noticed I learned a little bit about her, and it's like, oh my goodness, she was a contestant on The Bachelor many years ago in 2002, actually the second season of The Bachelor. And I've always been curious because it's that show is just a juggernaut. I mean, you've got The Bachelor. You know, we just found out just the past couple of days that the Golden Bachelor, who everyone had tremendous hopes for, is getting divorced now. Oh, my goodness. You have The Bachelor in Paradise. It's just this huge franchise. I believe there are Bachelor versions in other countries. And so when the opportunity came up to host for Dave, the first person I thought of was Susanna Lise Freeman, and so I reached out and I said, hey, you know, Suzanne, would you be willing to come on the program and talk about your experience with us about The Bachelor, and not so much just your personal experience, but what goes on behind the scenes, like what's happening when the cameras aren't on. And Suzanne graciously said yes. And so she is with us now. Suzanne recently married a friend of mine. Those of you who are audiobook fans might recognize the name Scott Brick. If you don't recognize the name, you recognize the voice. So Suzanne Elise Freeman Brick is on the phone with us. And Suzanne, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
You're more than welcome. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate this, and we could talk probably for hours and hours about this because I'm so curious about this. I have to tell you, I went back and tried to find clips of your season on The Bachelor, and none exist that I can.
Isn't that just marvelous? Isn't that just fantastic?
I wanted to
watch a single season since my own, and I didn't even finish the rest of my season after I left because my season, I was on opposite The West Wing, and if I didn't have to watch that and I got to watch The West Wing, that was marvelous because I think DVRs had just, I think TiVos had just started coming out around, but I didn't have one. The only thing I had was a VHS recorder.
Sure.
Which is how I recorded anything, but you couldn't record that and record something else at the same time.
Oh, that's right.
So all I wanted to do was watch West Wing.
Yeah.
So I've got my episodes on VHS, and that's the only place they exist. I'm sure the other girls have theirs somewhere as well. It's pretty fantastic that social media did not exist back then. I don't know how I could have how I would have survived
yeah,
their age.
I was thinking about that. You know, the questions I was going through, putting together lists of questions, things that I wanted to ask you. You know, and one of the as I'm writing it out, as I'm typing it out. And, you know, did they restrict your social media activity? And well, it was 2002. There was no social media active. I mean, there wasn't MySpace. There was AOL, whatever that was called, AIM. Remember when you could text back and forth to each other? But
I didn't have that, but sure.
Yeah. So I'm interested in how you were a flight attendant when you were on the program, right?
I was, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
What tell us how you became a contestant on it. Were there ads in the paper? Did you have an agent that directed you to this?
No.
How did that happen? What was that like?
Well, that could be the entire hour. So previous to this, again, I'd been a flight attendant. I mean, that's not really that relevant,
right?
Except in a kind of a way.
That was paying the bills.
No, it wasn't actually.
Oh.
I was on leave from working as a flight attendant. I mean, they only. I guess I did go back and technically work that job for quite a while. Actually, after that, now that I think about it, I had to remind myself when, because I left. A couple decades. Anyway, point is, I had also been in the finals to be on The Amazing Race, which is where I was on 9/11.
We were
sequestered and technically not allowed to tell anybody where we were because they weren't, you know, we weren't allowed to tell anybody that we were in the running to be on The Amazing Race. They did allow us to tell our family on 9/11, and especially in my case, that was relevant because I was a flight attendant for United.
Sure. Oh my, yes.
And two of our planes went down, and I flew those routes often.
Okay.
I wasn't supposed to have been on those routes that day. I was on reserve, which meant standby, and I was on leave, but a lot of my family didn't know that.
Sure, yeah.
So we were allowed it. Anyway, the point is, I did not make it in to the Amazing Race because my friend, who I was a teammate with at the time, broke a wrist.
Oh, okay.
But after that, I was on a lot of people's sort of Rolodexes.
Radar, okay.
Yeah, and I got called for to audition for a lot of different reality shows. I'm not exactly sure how I found out. Well, I mean, I knew The Bachelor existed because it was, you know, season two, so season one had come out.
Right.
I was discussing with a friend of mine. Why, A, that I was completely offended by the entire concept of The Bachelor, and B, I would never ever do The Bachelor.
Exactly. Right. Okay.
And she said, "Well, what if you get to the end and say no?" And I was like, "Oh, well, that's interesting."
Which has since happened.
You've
not watched any of them. Yeah, you've.
I have not watched anything, and I mean, I'm vaguely aware. Like, I knew about the Golden Bachelor happened. I knew that they got married. Like, I'm vaguely aware of what's happening.
Sure.
In the world around me, but I do not watch. Anyway, so I did. I submitted, you know, my audition tape, and they brought me in. And I was pretty quickly into like the final rounds of interviews. And the funny thing was they kept saying, you know, don't be nervous. And I'm like, I'm not. Like, I'm kind of hoping I don't get chosen to be on a cast because I knew I couldn't say no because I knew that I would be too curious about the experience to say
right,
no.
Right. It's
meanwhile
social experiment.
I knew exactly. Well, no, honestly, okay. See, there's so much more to this story, but primarily, one of the reasons I didn't want to audition is because I didn't know if we would be chosen for the next season of The Amazing Race. And my friend begged me not to go on The Bachelor because of that.
Because
if
you're committed to The Bachelor.
Yes. And we did get called several years later, and they would not take us. They wanted us to be on The Amazing Race, and they wouldn't take us because I had been on another network. My friend, I'm sure, never forgiven me.
Okay. So what's the the commitment is the commitment on The Bachelor. You are committed for the entire run of the show, even if you don't get a rose every time. Even if you leave the show, you're still committed. You can't do anything else because it's taped so far in advance. That would kind of play the hand, right? Is that?
I don't know that that's the case. I mean, I'm sure I signed some paperwork to that effect, but frankly, it's been so long. I'm sure that I was committed for that entire time. But I actually, when I left, I actually went home. So, like,
there's not another mansion or something like on Big Brother.
There may be now. Wasn't then.
Okay. All right. We're talking with Susanna Lise Freeman, who was a contestant on the second season of what became a juggernaut of a brand, The Bachelor, here on KVEC. We'll be back with Susanna in just a moment. You're listening to Hometown Radio on KVEC. Welcome back to Hometown Radio. Jim Siebert sitting in for Dave Congleton. My guest is Susanna Lise Freeman, who was a contestant on the second year of The Bachelor. Is contestant the right word, Suzanne?
I wouldn't call myself that, but I don't know. I mean, I think they just, when I've been referred to, I was a bachelorette on The Bachelor.
Oh, okay. All right. So Suzanne was a bachelorette on The Bachelor. I'm picturing you. I'm picturing your eyebrow kind of going up as you talk about this. It's like,
yeah, pretty much. You know what's funny? Scott and I, who is listening right now, so you can say hi to Scott Brick.
Hello, Scott.
Scott and I just joined this private social club. It's called the Astor in LA. It's in Hollywood, and the executive chef there is Marcel Vigneron from Top Chef. And he was on season two of Top Chef, so both of us were on season two of our respective shows. And he and I were talking about it, and neither of us, he can't watch Top Chef now, and I can't watch The Bachelor now. So it's fun kind of having somebody who was early days of reality to be able to discuss it with.
Yeah, because it really, I mean, 2002, your season was 2002. It filmed in 2000, I guess, or probably early.
No, it filmed in 2002.
Early 2002. So, and you mentioned the Great Race, the Amazing Race. Before that, I think we had Survivor and Big Brother were in the late 90s, and that was about the beginning of that genre of reality shows, I think.
It really, really, really was. Yeah. And our season of The Bachelor is the highest rated Bachelor ever in existence.
Really.
Because I mean, it's become so much more splintered now. Back then, there were just so many fewer options.
Well, and it seems it's really predictable too. I mean, you've got a couple of crazy people who are going to cause problems. You've got a couple of people who are going to get their feelings hurt. You've got the serious people. It's pretty predictable. And that leads me to a question: Do you think the producers, the showrunners are looking for certain types of personalities, because there always seems to be somebody who is just on the edge. I mean, you know, this person needs help. Are they?
I would guess that yes, they are. I mean, I've never spoken to the casting directors, but I've always imagined that yes, they are looking for a variety of personality types and somebody who's going to be I don't know if we can swear, but a crap stirrer.
Yeah.
I'm positive that they are looking for people like that who are willing to put themselves out there like that.
Right.
I always have the opinion that in the early days, they genuinely wanted to see relationships result from these shows.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that they wanted really good TV, but I feel like my season, at least, and the first season, because I watched the first season, and I will always blame Julia Whalen for that, which I can explain. but I feel like there were a lot tamer personalities in my season and in the first season. just girls who just hung out. And the reason I even considered doing it is because I saw that the girls in the first season seemed to have gotten to be really close. And I thought that that was a really compelling idea, is to, like, you know, have this bonding experience with a bunch of women who know how exactly how ridiculous what you're doing is.
So, go ahead. Clearly you weren't, I don't want to say that you weren't taking it seriously because you're a professional, but you were taking this with a grain of salt, I guess.
Oh, God, yeah. I told them that I had no, and I had no expectation that I would ever end up with this guy.
Yeah.
I told them in casting, like, and they broadcast, because in our kind of, we had an introduction show where they kind of, you know, talked about each bachelorette. And I told them that I was not, like, my dream was not white picket fence and 2.5 guys. I said, you know, of two kids, 2.5 guys.
Well, okay.
That would be fun. But I said, you know, I'm open, because again, but also back then you didn't know who the bachelor was going to be. It wasn't this constant sort of, ecosystem of, they always come from the previous show.
Right.
So every bachelor, so we had no idea who this dude was going to be at all. Like, we just showed up and we saw who he was when we got out of the limo. So I was like, you know, I'm willing to give the guy a chance, but it's not like I have this dream of meeting a guy on television and getting married.
It seems like there's always at least a handful, and I'll admit I haven't watched all 24 seasons, but I'm intrigued by some of these concepts. It seems like there's always a handful, whether it's men, whether it's bachelors and one woman, or one man and a whole bunch of women, it seems like there's always a few who are just so desperate to get married. They just, oh my gosh, this is, and they see the guy or the gal, and the very next day, he's the one.
Is there a girl in my season who said that she loved him after the first night. I don't understand it, but it was an experience, and I definitely had my 15 minutes of fame, that's for damn sure.
Let me ask you about we're talking about the beginning. On the opening segments where they, you know, they each get out of the limo and walk up and meet the bachelor or the bachelorette, whichever version of it is, are those scripted? They may be now. I mean, it might be different now than it was when. Were yours scripted?
No. And honestly, mine is, if what you're telling me is what I'm imagining, because I feel like I've seen a picture or like a clip of somebody walking in and like just crazy like costumes, and they're, you know, they're walking in with a cane on the Golden Bachelor. And we had nothing like that.
Oh, and they're
at
just
all. We literally got out of the limousine, went up, shook his hand, maybe gave him a kiss on the cheek, and walked into the house.
A couple of years ago, a woman gets out of the limo with a shark costume on, like the shark from Saturday Night Live. It's just the weirdest stuff. We're going to take a break for news and weather and a bunch of other stuff, and we'll be back in a few minutes to chat more about The Bachelor and what goes on behind the scenes with Susanna Elise Freeman on KVEC 920 News Talk Radio.
Maybe stretch it out a little bit more until you hear the music under you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's how the bed works.
All right.
You're new here.
Back to Hometown Radio. Jim Siebert sitting in for Dave Congleton. Dave will be back tomorrow. We're talking about The Bachelor, especially the second season of The Bachelor, with one of the bachelorettes, Susanna Elise Freeman. and who was in the second season. And so, Suzanne, before we get too much further, you name-dropped a friend, and I know there are a lot of our colleagues, the narrators who are listening to this program, and so they will not let me rest, I think, if you don't tell whatever story about Julia Whalen you were going to. You said, I'll talk about that later. How did she? How did Julia influence you being on The Bachelor?
She was on a show when she was a lot younger called Once and Again with Celia Ward and Billy Campbell.
Okay.
And I loved that show. And as previously discussed, there were no VCRs, or at least I didn't have one. Oh, sorry, not VCR, DVRs. Wow.
Right.
Oh, dating myself. and Once and Again was on right before, no, The Bachelor was on right before Once and Again.
Okay.
So I wanted to tune in early, of course, to get the beginning of Once and Again, and I caught the last few minutes of the season premiere of The Bachelor. And it was just deer caught in headlights, and I'm like, I can't look away. Now I'm invested, and I have to watch this stupid show that I absolutely hate. And so I started watching The Bachelor. And that's kind of how, you know, I got this idea that, you know, all the girls got to be friends. And it was just like it seemed like such a potentially fun experience.
So, and that's all
so
Julia's
yeah, it's
fault.
Entirely Julia Whalen's fault.
Yeah, that's all her fault. All right. Okay, so yeah. I'm glad we cleared that up because, I was just... So, were you given instructions, anything about how to act, how to behave? What did they tell you before the show started?
No, not really. I mean, you know, they cast you because they like your personality,
okay.
So they just encouraged you to be yourself.
Yeah. Were you there? So, yeah. How many days before filming started? What was the prep for this? How many pieces of clothing could you bring?
Gosh, you're asking me these questions. I don't remember. That's such an interesting question. I don't remember that there was a limit. And, you know, I lived in LA, so I didn't have to really worry about, like, yeah. checking bags or anything.
Yeah.
I don't remember there being a limit.
Okay.
I also don't remember where our clothes were in the house because, you know, there were so many of us and, there were 15, so there's 25 girls that started, and then 15 of us moved into the house because he got rid of 10 the first night.
Oh, wow. So they didn't even move. So you step out of the limousine, you meet the bachelor, you go mm-hmm. into the house, but you're not a resident of the house yet.
It was a different house.
Oh.
The bachelor's location where he was staying was a different location from where we were staying because they had to keep us apart.
Oh, sure.
Like, we couldn't just be, like, mingling with him all the time.
Sure.
So, yeah, the girls had one house, and the guy had his own place, which is where the rose ceremonies were.
Okay. Oh, okay. So the rose ceremony happens where he lives.
Yeah.
Huh. How long does that take? That the filming of the rose ceremony. How long does it take? It's what, 15 minutes on screen, final
right.
cut. But how is that an hour long affair? Does that take 2 hours? How long does that take?
Our first rose ceremony ended as the sun was coming up.
Yikes!
That's how long it took. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think people have. I don't think the general population has a real idea of how long it takes to film or to shoot a television show or a movie or even record an audiobook for that matter. But what was going on? Why did it take so long?
Well, at the beginning, there is just the mingling, because again, I don't know what they do now, but for us, you know. We had had our kind of experiences and our group dates and our whatevers.
Right.
we didn't have half the stuff that they have now. I've heard things that they do now. And then we would all get dressed up and go over to the house to basically socialize and drink.
Okay.
And then we would do the rose ceremony.
And that all happens in one day. They don't spread that out over a couple of days then.
For what we did know, okay. it was all one day.
Wow. Yeah, because you're, as I noticed, your show, first week of your show was sometime in September, I think, of 2002, and the last was November, yes. So it was only about, I think it was eight episodes.
It was eight episodes, yeah.
They're much longer now, I think.
I would imagine if you can get that many people watching that many episodes, why wouldn't you extend it?
It seems to go on and on and on, and then they have the after party, which sometimes will last a couple of days. Did you all do that? Did after your show, did you have the after party, and did you showed up for that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I was there.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, they were the first. My first question was, "Oh, we hear you don't watch The Bachelor anymore," and I'm like, "No," and I start. That's when I was like. Can I mention another network right now? Because I was like, I want to watch The West Wing.
Yeah.
But I think they did tell me not to say that, actually.
What is the house like? So your house was in Malibu. I think they're in a new place now. But your house was in Malibu. Were you like is sleeping in dormitory type situation?
Kind of, yeah. Basically, there were... I was in a room with, I think, five other girls at least.
Oh, my gosh.
And all sharing a bathroom. And they were pre-assigned. So I don't think we got to choose. Because I remember getting up there, and there was a Stitch monogrammed bag for all of us. And it was next to the bed. So I'm pretty sure I didn't get to choose my own bed.
Huh.
So I
would suspect the producers did that so they could put some... people together who would end up making good TV, some sort of
maybe.
One or the other.
That's possible.
Yeah. What about?
I wish I could even remember the girls who were in my room. I can't remember.
So that was another question. Have you stayed close or friends or in contact with any of them?
I did, closer to. And the funny thing is, I became closer to the girls who were kicked out the first night than I did to the girls who were kept. And I went to one of their weddings. But then we did a reunion trip in Vegas with the guys from the first season of Bachelorette with Trista, with her guys. So our whole season and her whole season, as many people who wanted to go, went to Vegas, which was a good time. That was fun.
Yeah.
But other than a lot of the girls, actually a few of the girls still do reunion trips, every year.
And like you say, they now it's become it's almost like franchise players. You'll see them. They'll be on the Bachelor, then they'll be on the Paradise show, and then that person will become the Bachelorette, and they recycle them through and through and through. And you think, man, some of these poor desperate people, let's get them hooked up with somebody so they can go on and have some kind of a life. Craft services, is the food pretty decent?
We basically could ask for whatever we wanted. We would leave a list. Of whatever, literally, anything we needed, wanted, on the kitchen counter. And, production assistant would grab it and be back with whatever we needed. My makeup was making me break out, so somebody ran to a department store and said, hey, she's having problems with this. Can you get me something similar, but, same color, but in a different formulation?
Yeah.
There's anything you want, and a lot of booze.
I was just gonna say it seems like the liquor just flows like a river, I guess is part of the whole idea behind it, because it might be pretty boring without that, I think.
The more you drink, the more you talk, and the stupider you act.
Yeah.
So it's smart of them to keep it going.
So you were there through the second week. How long did that?
Yeah.
So you did not, you got a rose the first time, but you did not get a rose the second time. How long of a time span was that between the time you showed up and the time you went home?
I feel like it was, Oh, gosh, that's such a good question. It was several days because we had lots of dates in between.
Okay.
Like, we went up, I flew up to Napa Valley for a wine tasting thing with him. And,
oh, fun.
So, yeah, there were several days, and I'm definitely in the house for several days.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't really remember.
All right, we're talking about The Bachelor, and with one of the bachelorettes from season two, Susanna Lise Freeman, from the year 2002. And when we come back after this break, I'd like to dig into what goes on that we don't see, what's happening for those 24 hours a day that you're there in that house. So we will dive into that in just a couple of moments. You're listening to Hometown Radio on News Talk 920 KVEC. Welcome back to Hometown Radio. Jim Siebert for Dave Congleton. We're talking about The Bachelor with a bachelorette from the second season of the juggernaut popular television show. My guest is Susanna Lise Freeman. Susanna, you're in that house 24 hours a day.
Yep.
At the beginning, 15 women, all with varying personalities. My gosh, what goes on when what we don't see, what goes on for the other 23 hours? Well, heck, it's more than that, because they shoot for 2 or 3 days before they get a 1 hour show. What goes on?
Right. I mean, mostly we were just hanging out. You know, there was a pool. We were in our bikinis and hanging out by the pool. I tried to work out. It didn't work out so well. They didn't have any equipment for me, and everybody thought I was trying to get attention. And I'm like, okay,
seriously?
I mean, I work out every day, but okay.
They didn't have any. That has got to have changed. I'm sure that now.
I'm positive. I'm positive it did. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So no stair step, nothing. They just wanted you to sit out there and be pretty, I guess.
Yeah, well, they want to get content, because, you know, we can't watch TV, we can't listen to music, we can't do anything. That's not interesting television, you sitting there and watching TV, and they can't have music on in the background because there's cameras everywhere all the time. So if any conversation happens, they're going to run over. If anybody like huddles up and starts talking, they're going to run over because they want to hear every little thing. So they can't, you know, you can't have anything on which would cause background noise.
Yeah. Okay. That answered. I was thinking, as you said, well, why no music? I mean, I can understand why no outside contact, but yeah. Okay. So the music, because of the continuity issues. So how, I hadn't thought of this until you were talking about how many crew are there, around you. There's 15 women, but how many crew?
Well, I think at least there were two camera crews. So, you know, what's funny, for the first several days, we would just chat with them. And then they were told that they couldn't talk to us anymore because it wasn't like, we were supposed to treat them as though they didn't exist, as though the cameras weren't there, but we couldn't really do that if we were just talking to them the entire time. So yeah, it took a couple of days and then they got a talking to, and they weren't allowed to talk to us anymore. And then it became kind of weird, because then we were like, okay, this person that I've been getting to know for a while is no longer allowed to talk to me. And plus, I mean, for the majority of them were men, so I don't think they really wanted them, you know, chatting up the women who were there.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were at least two, you know, like three-person crews all the time, and they were just in various places. They did not go into the bathroom, but otherwise they went everywhere.
So there was, other than the restroom, the bathroom, there was no privacy.
Nope. You could kind of, because I would always try to hide, and I would always kind of like walk, especially like rose ceremonies, I would always like kind of go behind the cameras because I just needed a minute. But I was spoken to many times about that. You're not allowed to hide.
Wow.
Like, if you need a couple minutes, go ahead, but otherwise you have to be there the whole time.
Yeah. Huh. Was did producers come in and suggest things?
I will tell you what happened with our producers. They did ask me to ask The Bachelor a question the first night, because I was, I think they used the term, the bold one, and I wasn't shy.
Okay.
And so I went and I asked them this question, and I afterwards I said, they asked me to ask you that. And then, but other than that, a lot of people asked if it was scripted, and in no way was it scripted. They could edit you however they wanted.
Yeah.
They could use what they wanted to create a storyline.
Sure.
But other than that, I was not told what to say. I wasn't told what not to say, except for the whole thing about the West Wing.
So even that, the rose ceremony, because those, whether it's a man or a woman, the bachelor, the bachelorette, the one handing out the rose, they seem to be, to me, they seem to have a lot more, their comments seem to be a lot more cogent than I would give them credit for, if I can be so bold.
They are, one of the reasons why it took so long to shoot the rose ceremony is because the bachelor would have to go and consult with the producers for a while. And so I'm pretty sure that in those breaks, very long breaks, he would be back there they would be back there coming up with what he was going to say.
Okay, I'm going to give the rose to Alice. And so what should I say? What should I say? And then they would coach him
right.
on. Oh, okay.
That's what I imagine was happening.
Yeah.
And I know that was happening. And one of the times, actually, he changed his mind about somebody he wanted to keep. and so he stopped in the middle of the rose ceremony and looked at the producer and said, I need to talk to you. So,
wow.
So it's all sorts of things. But my biggest thing when I went on that show is I didn't want to embarrass my parents. So all I knew is that I was not going to give them anything they could use.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I was not going to be the bad girl, I was going to be above the drama, and I just was not going to give them something that they could create into a storyline.
Yeah.
The girl who apparently hated me gave them plenty. And I found out after the fact that the reason they kept asking me questions in my, in the moments, my ITMs, they kept saying, so what do you think of this girl? And I would be like, why are you asking me? And I went up to that girl and I said, just so you know, they keep asking me questions about you. I think they're trying to start something. Lo and behold, she had started something way earlier than that.
Yeah.
She thought I was going to win, and so she wanted to get rid of me, and she was successful.
So they're planting seeds for,
yes.
as you put it, to make good TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Were you surprised that you didn't get a rose that second week?
I was shocked.
Yeah.
I was absolutely shocked. But I found out later that the one girl who, you know, forgive me. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't think everybody's out to get me except for the people who are.
if you call me later, I'll tell you who they are. Yeah.
Yeah. The girl was very clear. She said, my one goal is to get rid of Suzanne.
Oh.
Like on air.
Oh.
So this was not a secret. She and another girl kind of went to the guy and told him that I personally was creating a lot of drama.
Yeah.
And so he was convinced to let me go.
So I think you said earlier that despite it all or because of it all or whatever, it was good for you in the long run. How has this paid off for you?
It was in no way good to me. It was fun. I got the 15 minutes. I got to meet lots of really fun people. I got to go into a lot of fun parties.
Yeah.
You know, I got attacked always in bathrooms. I don't know why, but everywhere I went, when people would recognize me, they would wait until I was in the bathroom to start talking to me.
Huh.
It did absolutely nothing for me. And I didn't do it in the hopes that it would.
Yeah.
No, it did nothing.
It seems that they're
except for getting me in parties.
It seems some of the people that go on that go on these shows, and it, as you say, you haven't watched any of them, but it seems like that's a motivation for a fair number of them is to build a reel.
Yeah, I mean, well, Yeah, who knows? I don't know what they're doing. I mean, but I'm like, for instance, I watched Dancing with the Stars, so I've gotten to know Melissa from, I think his name was Jason, the Bachelor. And you know, I watched her go on Dancing with the Stars and ended up winning, and that was lovely, and that would have been super fun to get that out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, back then, you know, again, early days. But
all right,
we were very well known. It's just nobody went on and did anything. Nobody from my season was the Bachelorette. Like, none of us did anything else.
Yeah. Well, you are at the front end of an incredible juggernaut, and I appreciate you taking an hour out of your day to share with us. It was such a kick to be able to talk with you about it, and I know a number of our colleagues direct messaged me and said, I had no idea Suzanne was a Bachelorette. So you now have...
I don't publicize that.
Yeah, you now have a new layer of fame. So I appreciate it. I thank you so much. I can't wait till we get a chance to talk about this some more offline, and have a great evening. Thanks. Suzanne Elise Freeman Brick, our guest here on Hometown Radio. Well, that's going to do it for me. Thanks to Dave for inviting me to host today's show. He'll be back tomorrow on News Talk 920 KVEC.
The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.